The Rebel Capitalist Show, Episode 2. Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
Let's start off, for those who don't know you, just give us the 30-second version of kind of how you got to where you are today.
All right, so 30-second version, go. All right, so in the earlier years, I had a chance to play professional sports. I traveled the world, and having left the United States of America, home base is Detroit, Michigan, having left Detroit, I had a chance to see the world from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And then in acquiring education by being on the road, I received compensation in a variety of currencies, and I noticed the difference in the economies from every country that I visited. And some countries was more expensive, some was cheaper. It got me to rethinking a lot of things as to why the world is struggling and why in America we live so good. Came back home and realized that we're not much different than the rest of the world, and that those issues that plague them also will impact us as well. There goes the channel, Rethinking the Dollar.
Okay, so that's kind of what took you down the dollar rabbit hole initially.
Yes, it was. And so having lived in Iceland at one point, and in Switzerland and Argentina, receiving different currencies and seeing the amount of the lack of purchasing power for some and the more purchasing power for others really got me to questioning why is that. And so I went to school for entrepreneurship and business management, and never really did I learn about the economy and how currencies and monetary policy impact our lives on a daily basis. And so from that point on, really dove deeper, got into Austrian economics, and had the ability and opportunity of connecting with a lot of smarter individuals than myself. And through self-education, started the Rethinking a Dollar channel, interviews, and just sharing my thoughts and opinions on current market conditions as well as the global economy. And so just through self-education, based upon things I didn't get in school, led to me really rethinking a lot of things beyond our currency. And so here I am now, just trying to share and educate the world as best I can.
Yeah, and you're doing it really well. The first question that I'd like to ask you, I've got a lot of viewers and I get a lot of comments on my videos where people say that, George, we're really excited that we found your channel. We're really excited to watch these videos because we feel like we live in a world, and this is the person talking, where our family doesn't believe us. They all think we're wearing a tinfoil hat. Everyone at work thinks we're crazy. Every one of my buddies is in the stock market in a 401k, long the S&P, and they think everything's amazing. The unemployment rate is low. So when I come in here and talk about the repo market or the Federal Reserve or $23 trillion in debt or negative interest rates, they just think that I'm doom and gloom. And so I just kind of zip it and go, try to keep it to myself. And your channel is the only outlet that I have to express what I truly feel. So my first question to you was, I'm sure you went through the same thing. You probably still go through that same thing. So for my viewers who feel that way, what have you done in your personal life to, I don't want to say get around that, but how have you coped with that?
Great question. And so for me, I've been doing the education or re-education process for about 5 years, going on 6 years now. And of course, in the beginning, it's rough because if you feel like you're talking to yourself a lot, because no one wants to hear the bad news or just what's real in an alternative media sense. Yeah. And so over the last couple of years, give or take, I decided to try to be more practical, be more of that guy that everyone can relate to. So I actually, a lot of times I go out in the street, I interview people directly, asking them what's the difference between a dollar and as far as sound money and the actual paper currency. And I try to make it more relative for people. And so I think we're all connected in more than one ways. And so making other people or helping other people realize that what's happening in Venezuela right now is no different than what could happen in here in the US. The only thing that's probably keeping that from happening is the fact that we have the reserve currency. And then I go into explaining what that means and how every 30, 40 years, typically there's some type of shifting of the world economic powers, but yet for some reason over the last 100, we haven't had that shift yet, but it's all going down now. And then I love using props. So if you don't mind, I got a couple of props here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a couple of Zimbabwe notes right in front of me here. So I have a 50 billion and I have 100 billion. And then I was in Argentina a couple of years ago and I've been there several times and I enjoy it there, but I always leave with some currency. Yeah. And so this currency here, the 50 and 100 peso, is now, it's expired in a sense. It no longer has the same purchasing power that it had when I first got it years and years ago. And then also, I can't help it, but I carry gold at all times. And so
very cool.
Just being able to pull out of my wallet some currencies that are no longer in existence and tell them that if those people would have been holding something of actual tangible value, they would have been better off. So between props, finding ways to get to the, you know, be more practical for your everyday person and just never giving up. At this point, I live this type of stuff. So I really enjoy it and getting more traction as I, you know, find new ways to invent.
Yeah. So is I know you're going out in the streets and using those props. Is that what you, or is that the strategy that you use? If you've got a really good buddy that you're always, you know, hanging out with, going to the ball game, and you just never really talk about economics, but when it does come up, he says, "Mike, I watched one of your videos, and what are you talking about? I mean, you're crazy. Well, you don't know anything. This is just, you know, why are you talking that tinfoil hat nonsense?" Is that how you break it down to those friends? Is you just break out the Zimbabwe dollar and the Argentinian dollar, use those props, or do you have a special method of convincing your friends?
Well, typically for all those that are closest to me, they know, you know, the world I live in, and they know I comb the globe looking for news stories that we all can relate to. And so I no longer have to do the props and stuff directly with the closest people to me. And so pretty much all my family members, as well as friends and whatnot, somehow or another, I just point them to the sources. And so I point them to people who are certified and have credentials in this industry of education. And so, as I mentioned earlier, having done this for quite some time, I've been in a very privileged position to be able to interview some heavy hitters and some thought leaders in a variety of subject matter. So I have college professors, I have best-selling authors and financial experts and mining experts. So anybody who's an expert in their field that share the same viewpoint, I go out and get them and bring them back to Rethinking a Dollar. And so rethinkingadollar.com/university has all my past interviews. And so I just say, hey, go straight to school. I went to school. I went out and got them. Just go listen to those guys there. They'll tell you what's going on. If you don't believe them, I'm sorry, it's nothing I can do for you. So I just point them to the source nowadays.
I mean, you've had some people within our world or the Austrian world that we all look up to and respect. What are, I would say, the top three things that you've learned from interviewing all those people?
Oh man, great question. And so every guest I've had on the show brings a unique perspective, as you mentioned. And so what I pay attention to and what I try to pay attention to at this point is to just to listen to the details as far as how they use certain words and how they carry themselves, as well as how they think ahead. And so, of course, all those individuals you referred to, they're heavy hitters in the business world. So they've gone through the journey that I'm attempting to go down myself. And so they all drop nuggets in subtle ways. So the very first thing I usually take away is just realizing that, you know, they're no different than I am. Mm-hmm. Only thing is their journey. Along the way, right. They were willing to think outside the box. They were willing to, as Doug Casey mentioned the other day, about speculating. He said he's not a trader. Investing is not the same. He looks for speculation. So I just dive deeper. I ask him to define words that either I know or don't know, but I approach every interview from the standpoint of I know nothing. I'm just an ordinary Mike from the streets. Educate me. And so between listening to their how they word things, looking at what they see in the future, and then three, just trying to walk away with one tip as to something I can apply into my life now. Those are the primary three things I look for during every interview. And everybody having had a different journey definitely can offer some type of value just because they've been there and done that. So if I do one of the things that they suggest or one of the things I take away from the interview, I'll be better off than not having listened to him at all or even bother to step outside the box and attempt to do something different. So,
yeah, I think that's a great point. And I haven't had the opportunity to interview any of those gentlemen, but I've obsessively watched their videos since 2012. And that's a big reason why I've kind of went down the investment path that I did. And that's really helped me build my intellectual framework and help me see the world from a standpoint which I think is correct, but then also look at my investments or my investment strategy in a much different way. Right. Remember when, from 2012 to probably 2014, I literally watched every single Jim Rogers video that hit YouTube. I mean, everyone, from start to finish. And I know a lot of people give him a little bit of a hard time because he's a broken record and this, and he's too simplistic and he doesn't get into detail. That's true to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. If you listen to every single one of his videos, occasionally, he will drop a bit of wisdom that he doesn't necessarily lead on, or he doesn't necessarily walk you down that path in the majority of his videos. But if he's pushed, he'll go into something. And if you take all of, the hours and hours and hours of that content and take bits and pieces of it and then put the puzzle together, you all of a sudden see this roadmap that and the light bulb goes on and you're just like, oh, I get it. I get it now.
I think Jim Rogers joined me, a couple weeks ago for a live stream. And so I think a lot of that has to do with how you frame your questions as an interviewer. And so definitely I approach every single interview from just your ordinary practical guy. I don't try to go technical and all that stuff. That's way above my pay grade in a sense. So I try to keep it to where I speak for Main Street. And so I ask questions that are directly related to how can someone with very little means be able to position themselves in a better position now and for their future. And at this point, everyone who's watching, more likely watching us, they're aware that something is occurring right now. And they know that something is changing relatively soon. And so like the practical things is basically, if the world around you is changing in a financial sense, therefore it's going to trickle down to every other area of your life, socially, health, physically, you name it. And so all you have to do is just do one thing a little bit different in those areas and you'll be better off than the majority. Now, when you're ready to go technical and go in depth and actually strategize as to where to park your capital or whatnot, then I pay more attention to the very things those gentlemen say, because they operate at a much different sphere than your average person on Main Street. So for me personally, I try to ask questions to keep it simple, because we all know, part of wealth preservation will be gold and silver. Getting back to what has been historically sound money will definitely preserve your wealth. But then if you got all that, then what? So there's more than one way to skin a cat, but it starts with just basically using a little bit of common sense that you have now. And then, of course, if you're ready to add on top of it, then you go into the technical things that those gentlemen speak about. So I try to get a little bit of both myself. So,
yeah. So that brings me to my next question is, in gathering all of this information that you've been able to gather through your research and interviewing these icons, what have you done in your own life to implement the strategies that you've learned that maybe some of the viewers could implement as well?
Great question there. And so over the last couple of years, because prior to getting into this education, or as I call it, monetary awareness aspect of my life, I wasn't too in tune as to how interconnected we all are. And so there's 7+ billion people on this planet. And so me personally, I've always been an entrepreneur. And so I've always had some type of business or something going around me or involved in. And so for me personally, just listening to how they frame their and use their words, as far as how they categorize and they set up a nice narrative towards how they are creating their own world. And so they share with us information basically saying that they are the masters of their own fate, because they've done the journey now. Now they're at the point where they're still involved in a lot of activity, but now they're more so willing to reach out and help other people. And so just the fact that a lot of those gentlemen we're speaking about would take time for someone such as myself to sit down and educate me as well as my audience shows that at some point you have to think beyond yourself. And so one of the biggest takeaways I've learned from having a chance to sit down with so many people is the importance of service. And so most people who come from the employee mind state, they're more focused on what can they get out of the system for themselves. And then whatever they do get, they go ahead and consume it through their lifestyle. And so me personally, I'm more business-minded now. My primary driving force moving into this new decade is how many people can I serve? And that's one thing that I've gotten away from the doom and gloom. So like having like Mark Faber, all those guys talk about be prepared, it's going to get dark and dangerous. I'm like, for the majority, yes. But me being a person of faith as well, I'm excited, because I think a lot of people moving forward will have a chance to become more proactive with their own lives. And so, I love referencing The Matrix. And so I'm a big fan of The Matrix. When I saw that years and years ago, it really got me to question, what if we were really in somebody else's world? And long behold, I realized that we are all a part of a system that's designed to keep us dumbed down, distracted, and all other types of words that I can throw out there. But
yeah, I agree with that for sure.
I think that this next restructuring or reboot, there will be a shift in our monetary system that will trickle down and be a global event. And that's basically them attempting to upgrade from Matrix 1.0 and shift us into Matrix 2.0, which will be the more of the automated, AI automated, to auto, you know, all those things that are going to be very disruptive. So that window between Matrix 1.0 and 2.0 will be a small gap of opportunity for the world to basically either be unplugged for a quick second. And so you know how in a movie, sorry for ranting so much, but I get excited to talk about something like this. And so you know how in the movie where you know, they pull the thing from the back of their head, they wake up, and then they realize that whatever. I think everyone, all 7-point-something billion people will experience that jolt for a quick second. That reboot, restructuring, reshift, or whatever it's going to be looked at in history books will be that small window of time where everyone who depend upon the old paradigm of getting up every day, going to work, getting a paycheck, setting aside funds, and all your conventional financial products with the idea of retiring one day, that's going to be challenged big time. And so there's going to be 70-something baby boomers, I believe, 70-something million baby boomers here in the U.S. that will experience that jolt of like, what happened? I was promised this. I was supposed to get this. But then it's going to be the awakening of like, you were lied to. And so you got two ways of looking at it. It's the end of your world or it's the beginning of a new world for you. And that window of time I'm referring to is people really beginning to take, you know, advantage of all the opportunities they have in front of them as far as looking at their own, as I call it, your personal intellectual capital, which is what you're carrying already in the form of a talent, skill, gift, and then implement it to the world. So more likely people will be challenged, you know, as far as not delivering their service, their time to an employer, but they'll have time and opportunity. They'll have more than enough time on their hands to try to deliver one service or one type of value to the world directly. So you get to cut out the middleman for a minute while they shift us over to the, you know, then a part of 2.0 matrix is going to be, you know, UBI and all those programs they're going to roll out to pacify the people again. Some people will fall into the trap, but I believe my mission is to help people, you know, think outside the box, unplug themselves, and begin injecting their skills and services directly to the consumer themselves so that they can alleviate the dependence upon a boss or anything of that nature. So,
and now what's so amazing about the time that we live in is you can do that with the internet. I mean, I just look at what you've done on YouTube or any of these channels that have a lot of subscribers. And I just think back to when I started my entrepreneurial journey, which was late 90s. And yeah, the internet was around back then, but as you can probably recall, it wasn't like this. Right. It was because of chat rooms and, you know, this and that. It wasn't anything where you could actually just create and leverage such an amazing opportunity. So I think both of us, we talk about the dollar going down or maybe the U.S. losing its position of dominance in the world. And that could be a negative, but to your point, that could be a huge opportunity. And you have the resources. People have the resources at their disposal now. There are so many more resources because of the internet than they did 30, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, think, I just, again, going back to my early entrepreneurial days, I just think about how hard I would have had to have worked to create a business that would generate, let's say, $10,000 or $20,000 a month in profit. I mean, you're talking about years. And then you got to put up, let's say, $500,000 to start that business. And you got to, I mean, I remember putting payroll on my credit card. I remember in one business, and I won't go into great detail, but I mean, I had started it about 6 months later. My credit card company wouldn't give me, they're basically holding on to about $250,000. Mm-hmm. And I needed that capital to operate the business. And it came down to the very last Sunday where I had a sales presentation to do, and I did it myself. I said, you know, the salespeople, if we're going to go down in a ball of flames, it's going to be me at the head of the ship here. And I did the sales presentation. We brought in enough revenue to cover payroll. And then that week, the credit card company released it. And then that business went on to do, after a few years, we're $24 million in annual revenues. Mm-hmm. But my point is, there is some serious stress that used to be a big part of your brick and mortar business, and just taking your life savings and dumping it into that. Where now, if you're really good at writing, or you're really good at doing videos, or maybe a podcast, I mean, you can do the same. You can create the same type of business with $1,000.
I would imagine, you know, it would have been more difficult to scale the way that you're referring to, as far as being able to reach such a great audience or have a much larger customer base. But yet to break it down to your person who's watching this, and they may be saying, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it. More than likely, you're good at something. And so if you're good at something, there's somebody that'll be willing to give you at least 50 cents. Like, you know, so you're throwing out big numbers there. So a lot of people can be discouraged. And so my thing is to break it down to the very bare minimum. If you enjoy doing dog walking or whatever your hobby is, there's obviously somebody out there that enjoys the same thing. All you have to do is connect with that person, find a way to add value. And if you make their life a little bit easier, and if you add value to them, I'll be willing to bet they'll be willing to give you 50 cents. Now, you may say 50 cents, I can't do nothing with that. But 50 cents times, you know, 100 people, 1,000 people, it starts to add up. Right. So, you know, and this really has me excited, because, you know, entrepreneurship is one of the things that basically you decide to move the middleman, and you take responsibility upon yourself. So you're describing, you know, the process for you to make payroll. You had to step up to the plate and be responsible for your baby. Your company is your baby. The same thing applies to this new shift that we're entering into. You are a business. Every single person watching this, you are a business. Right. And how you choose to look at it depends upon your educational process, which more than likely you were bred to be an employee solely. But yet, as a part of this shift between Matrix 1.0, 2.0, there's going to be a window of time where you're going to find out how unreliable that is. Hmm. And so you're going to be introduced to the fact that you yourself, when you wake up in the morning, you are a business. Whatever your first and last name is, that's the name of your company. Now, how do you deliver value to the world will be the re-education process that you have to go through. And so, you know, my big belief from a spiritual standpoint, you know, I don't want to take it too far, but from a spiritual standpoint in regards to the Bible, I hope you know my referencing
not
this.
Not at all.
Proverbs 18:16, one of my favorite passages that I've been meditating on heavily. It talks about a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. And so just that one sentence has changed my world, because I've always realized that I was good at ABC or whatever it might be, but I never paid it any attention. So now as I get older, having had a chance to speak with so many wise people, you know, you included, you know, it has me thinking differently, to where I'm like, I have something to offer. Let me hone in on that. You know, and so I have a little step process, define it, refine it, and then deploy it to the world. And in time, like anything, you know, it's like a seed. You take your gift, whatever it is, it's a seed right now because you don't know nothing about it. Plant it somewhere. Let the time go by. Go to your job to earn some capital to fund your seed. You got to go buy the water and all that stuff to take care of your seed. And incrementally, it'll grow. And in time, if you're patient enough, you'll be able to get some traction and then gain some momentum. And then you'll be amazed at the community you can form off just basically being yourself. Yeah. So that's something different, but I think this is a time starting in 2020 where more people will need to hear those type of solutions. And so that takes away the doom and gloom, because you're the master of your own fate. You mix in your faith, you got a great formula for success, I believe.
Yeah, wow, that's really, really great. I mean, really powerful things that you're saying, in the sense that, you know, we've got some negative things happening, but we're living in a time when there's so many positive things going on, in this Matrix 2.0, or that space, that gap is going to open your eyes, and you can either bitch and complain about it, or you can just get in there and just make it happen. And it could present an opportunity or a whole new world that you couldn't have imagined just a year or two ago. I remember when I started kind of doing some reflection on, once I made a little bit of money, and I thought, when I was in college, so many people, so many adults, let's call them, or people that you go to for advice would say, okay, well, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? What's this? And I remember looking back maybe in 2010 or maybe it was 2012 when I retired and thinking to myself, if you would have asked me at every point in my life what I would be doing 5 years from now, it would have been wildly different. I mean, even let's take today as an example. If you would have told me 5 years ago that I'd be in Medellin, Colombia, talking to Mike, rethinking the dollar on some sort of app, Zoom, I guess it's called, over my computer, and we'd be talking about macro and entrepreneurship and the Matrix 2.0, I would have told you that you're insane. I would have said, there's no way. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? And if you go back in every five-year segment, it would have been the exact same thing. You know, in 2000, there's no way I would have guessed I'd be doing what I was doing in 2005, 2010. And it just goes to show you that if you stay positive, if you continue to learn, if you continue to work on yourself from a physical standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, and from a mental standpoint, that sooner or later, if you keep getting out there and plugging away, that you're going to find opportunity. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, I would agree. And so to even hone in on that a little bit more, I've realized over the last couple of years for myself, I would have never imagined being here as well. And so having met you a while back, and we've had several conversations since then, and you know, it's been great getting to know you as well as all the other experts out there. So we're all interconnected. The problem is, especially here in the U.S., we've been taught to be so inner-focused and self-focused to where we no longer really concern ourselves with other people. And so I think in being more sociable, like so I imagine down in Colombia as well as South America in general, everyone's friendlier than they are here.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
We've been so conditioned to be competitive here. Like the, you know, chasing the Joneses, whatever those, you know, cliches are.
Keeping up
and
the
so
Joneses, yeah.
we focus more so on ourselves as opposed to other people. And so if you were to just do that, just focus on how can you better connect with somebody else, that'll create a new experience for you. And then that'll open up a new pathway, which at the end of that pathway is a new door. And then through that door are new experiences that you would have never imagined. And so I deliberately now, you know, now that I'm a little bit older and you know, I'm a parent now, so I deliberately attempt to every week create some type of new pathway so that my children, my wife, myself, we all have a new, somewhat of a different experience, because you never know what you like. And so we are conditioned to do the repetitive actions every single day. And how often do we deviate course? And so if you just look for just one new habit to form or one new activity to get involved in, you'll be amazed that, you know, you'll find out what you were missing out on the whole time. And so I'll cut it short. But a couple of weeks ago, out of the blue, I just realized I want to start boxing. And so I'm a bigger guy. I come from the sports world. And so I have my
There's
wife.
No, but actually, Mike, I do that all the time. And I started, really? That'll be another conversation, but yeah. Man, it's the best workout. Isn't it great?
And and I've been missing out. And so I'm mad at myself that I've been so tunnel vision with just, you know, honing my sports down. Long story short, having done that, I'll never not do it again.
Oh, you know? Awesome, isn't it? I love it. Yeah, okay. I love it. All right, buddy. Well, I sure appreciate you being here. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can connect with you, and how they can find you on social media or whichever is easiest for you.
All right, Ferris, I appreciate the opportunity, A, to connect with you again, and as well as to be in front of the audience. So thanks for having me. And so, yes, rethinkingthedollar.com is the website, just rethinkingthedollar.com. I have all my resources there. I put together so much free material for people where you just go there, scroll around, you'll see all types of things. And it's all mainstream practical stuff you can do right now. And then on YouTube, Rethinking a Dollar is where just Google Rethinking the Dollar, and you'll find a way to connect with me or whatnot on the internet. And then also, just as a little bit of a small plug, starting in 2020, on 1/1/20, I'm looking to venture out into solely a podcast format as of now, and it's going to be called Giftpreneur. And so I'm adding the import. I'm basically share people the revelation I received about the importance of your gift, and the preneur aspect is you taking responsibility for that gift and serving it to the world. So Giftpreneur after 2020 will be my next little adventure on top of, you know, talking about the problems. I'm excited to get into the solutions, and I believe everyone's carrying their own particular solution for their problems. So That's something that's coming down the line. But just rethinking a dollar for now. And then, you know, I'd love to connect with you guys there as well. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.